three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Sort of a sporadic episode. Don't know when the last time we did one was. After the Boomers won bronze, I believe. There's been a number of things to talk about. We're recording this on Friday, the 20th of August. I've got Andrew Canyon with me. Andrew, say hello.
Hello, Joe. It's nice to be here.
Pleasure. We're talking about the announcement to the start of the season, the TV deals that have come along. Perth's lack of action, talking about the Wildcats, and then a few other things along the way. Before we get started, though, if you enjoy the show, do become a patron. We'd appreciate that. What's funny, Andrew, is a reminder about the patron. The last episode we did about the Boomers winning bronze, about 500-plus people listened to that episode.
That's pretty
good. But the
good.
Show, I think it's quite good, but the show has 10 patrons. That means, Andrew, that there's 490 people out there in the world mingling around, probably super spreaders, who are listening to this podcast like they're Julius Caesar, expecting you and I to dance as court jesters for their amusement while they're fanned and fed seedless grapes.
Yeah, come on, people.
The Patreon works out to about $1 a day. That's one less Bubble O'Bill a week. I'm offended.
And look at the content you're getting, you know, like just... quality NBL discussion in your ears at your demand.
For free for some of you, for the great majority of you.
Yeah. And the other thing to point out, how many did you say we had 10 patrons? One of those is me. Okay. I've said this a number of times, right? I'm paying for my own entertainment here.
It's a cycle. And also while we're on pay, Hemispheric Views, that's Andrew's separate podcast. It's a great podcast. I listen to it probably every second episode. Sorry, Andrew, not going to lie. And I enjoy it every time I listen to it. I enjoy it when I do. But people, patron, it's a Bubble O'Bill a week. Get real. Anyway, let's jump onto the 10 Peach deal. Let's do that first.
Peachy.
So Peach, 3-year deal, 2 live games on a Sunday, plus on the streaming service 10 Play. Is it going to be all the games on 10 Play or just those 2 games that were going on Peach?
I think it's just the 2 games, just the 2. Yeah. And how they pick those games, I don't know. Is it the good games? Is it the dud games? Who knows?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, Sunday afternoon, that's not my best viewership time. I normally like Thursday night, Monday, Tuesday is good for me. I prefer Sunday afternoon to either Friday or Saturday night for sure. But coming into COVID times, every day is the same, so who cares? But
I wouldn't know anything about that. I was out and about earlier. It's a lovely day today, just getting out.
Yeah, that's true, like a Sunday afternoon. What do you think? It's obvious to me that the deal is – it's basically the 9Go deal that they had a couple of years ago, which was 2 9Go. Games on a Sunday, right? Do you remember when it was on 9Go?
I think – maybe. Do I? I don't know. I've just got Viceland in my head. That's – the one that I keep thinking.
Yeah, what do you think? Is it a step up or a step back? What do you think?
I would say a step back. Don't love it. I have you ever watched 10 Peach?
No, but apparently it's SD only.
Exactly. So I can't say that. I don't think I've ever watched 10 Peach, right? It's one of those channels that exists that I never go to. But I could probably say that about all free-to-air TV, to be perfectly honest. When's the last time you tuned into, you know, the Channel 7 news bulletin at 6 o'clock?
Outside the Olympics, no.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think,
and the news conferences.
I don't quite know. Like, it's one of those things you kind of have it for credibility these days, and I think it's sometimes blown out of proportion, the value of a mainstream TV deal.
I concur. And this to me seems like this was the sort of attack on deal that best sits alongside the $45 million 3-year deal with ESPN and KO. I'm assuming that they would have said, listen, yes, you can have a free-to-air partner, but it can't be a big one. It can't be on the good days. It can be on a Sunday afternoon in standard definition. Yeah, whatever. We don't care.
Yeah. I reckon even HD was probably ruled out.
You think so? Maybe.
I reckon it was ruled out. I reckon that's the benefit of using ESPN, Fetch, KO, whatever.
HD. That's it. That's an exclusive. You could be right. I haven't heard that, but I'll ask around. I mean, you look at 10 Peach, it's only an SD and it captures around, it captures about 2 to 3% of the mainstream primetime audience. I looked this up, like Channel 7 has about 25 and Channel 10 about 15. So it occupies a tiny little, that's in prime time. So I don't know about Sunday afternoon, but you can only assume the numbers would be similar. Mm-hmm. 2 to 3%. That's just so, in my book, that's just negligible. That's of a population of 20 million, 25 million or whatever. That's, you know, a couple hundred thousand nationwide. But it just strengthens to me that the idea that the NBL is going after a pay deal, because obviously COVID, they don't know if people are going to be in the stands. And if they are in the stands, capped. So the idea to protect that ESPN deal, get some money while obviously ESPN are gagging for content. They want something to show, even if there's no fans in the crowd and the NBL snapped it up. I would never sacrifice, even if Channel 7, and I'll ask you this question, if Channel 7, say, came knocking at the door of the NBL and said, we want to put you on in prime time on free-to-air, one game a week on a Monday night and one game a week on a Saturday night, would you take the free-to-air over the money of the pay TV deal?
No, I wouldn't. I'd take the pay TV deal. And the other thing that that strikes me, and I'm sorry, somebody's decided to mow their lawn, so I'm hoping that's not picking up too bad.
I can't hear the
microphone. Excellent. The thing that I was reading an article the other day is about the NBA and American football and all that, but basically how the value is now in sports betting. That's where the real money is. And NBL has its deal with, you know, who are they? Who's this?
Who was it? Sports Radar.
Yeah. They got Sports that deal. Sports Bet. As well. And so I sort of think that maybe that's the direction they're going in. It's going to be, how can we get the betting people to watch this stuff, not the mainstream audience? Because that's where the money is.
You would think, that's why I've always liked the deal with ESPN, because ESPN, it's a natural, ESPN's a basketball brand. Channel 7 doesn't do basketball. Channel 10 doesn't do basketball. ESPN. And I think they want to align themselves. And when you talk about getting a betting audience, you would think that people who've just bet on the NBA, oh, no, I've lost.
Yep.
Oh, what's that? Is another basketball game on? NBL? The line doesn't look, you know, I think they're going for that flow-on effect with the betting. So I like it. And that's a good way to put it.
So we'll see. But I think the other thing we should say is that part of the 10 deal is it goes on 10 Play as well, which is their streaming option. I think that is HD, but I don't know what level of HD it runs at. And it will also have those embedded ads that are unskippable.
Yeah.
So not hugely compelling, I wouldn't think.
No, and it obviously spells the death of Twitch.
Yes, I think so. It's good while it lasted.
You look at NBL, the recent announcement of the schedule in November, which we'll get to, but I don't believe that the Twitch logo used to appear at the bottom of all these sort of NBL things.
Yep.
And it's been quite obviously replaced, which is sad because I don't know about you, but I went to Twitch for probably, if the game wasn't on the Viceland main channel, I probably went to Twitch for 3/4 of games.
Yeah, me too. I like Twitch. It was good. I noticed it was getting more and more ad plays as the season went on, which says to me more and more people were watching it as well.
Mm, good idea. Anything else from this one, or you want to move on?
No, I think it's good. You know, I guess more the more the merrier if you can get good, you know, TV. Well done, NBL. It's better than.
Yep.
I will miss Viceland as well, though. I think Viceland did a good job. There was obviously
they were okay, but again, Viceland. If I can jump in on Viceland, I mean they capture around about a similar percentage of a new audience. Viceland was small anyway. I think maybe 2 to 3% of the mainstream audience. So Viceland wasn't exactly growing the game either. It just didn't have the capacity. It wasn't on the main channel. If it was on the SBS main channel, all right, now we're having the conversation. But it was on Viceland. I think it's the same deal. It's just transferred over and there's less games. So, but the 45 million is what stands true. Where do you want to go next, Andrew? Do you want to talk about bronze medal lethargy, Perth Wildcats lethargy, the season schedule, or an auxiliary topic?
Let's do the bronze medal. Let's get that out.
Okay.
Yeah, before everybody forgets the Olympics ever existed. Let's talk about that.
Body wrote an article about this, about selling jerseys and stuff. I'm assuming you read it. What do you think? Like, we've won this bronze, or Australia and the basketball Australia have won this bronze medal. And is the are the wheels churning? Is basketball big? What's your impression?
I've totally lost my train of thought there, Joe.
While you regain it,
yes.
I'll just say this, and this is going to sound sort of overly critical, but this is the worst time to win a medal. In an Olympics in a foreign country, during lockdown, even the players can't celebrate it like they would want to. People can't celebrate in person. But more importantly, children or new people to the sport watch the win and go, oh, great, I'm going to pick up a ball and go to the park. It's like, no, you're not. It's you don't get that tangible evidence. Before, it would be like you'd see a news report on Channel 7 that's like, Boomers win bronze and basketball enrollments have skyrocketed, and then some kid's bouncing a ball at half court. You haven't seen that direct flow on. You probably won't see action on this win in New South Wales, presumably months, and around the country, a similar time frame. So BA Basketball Australia have to be really inventive. And Body's article, I haven't seen, you know, he's suggesting they haven't seen it. Haven't seen it. And I'm assuming, well, what do you think?
Well, the thing that struck BA, they're not a commercial organization, are they?
No.
They're an administrative bureaucracy that's designed to run streams of game development and that kind of stuff. They're not commercial operators. They don't know how to promote and advertise and move quickly and nimbly to cash in. I don't even think, do they even think they care about their P&L and balance sheets? I don't know.
KPIs, I think. But the thing was, the NBL's always had a close relationship with the Olympics, yep. Right? That's why the import rules are in there.
Yeah.
And the Olympics is essentially, well, the Australian Olympic Committee, but by extension, BA. So the BA kind of has to throw its lot in with the NBL. Like, I just feel, and I agree with Body's article that it needs to commercialize the jerseys and stuff. I think that's important.
Yep.
But more than anything, Basketball Australia has to, and maybe it has a fractured relationship with the NBL or maybe even with the new management and Larry Kesselman, but the BA needs to be pushing that pathway for new players, where it's like, you start out here at under 12s or whatever it is, and you go through these channels to get to the NBL and perhaps the NBA. You see it with AFL, where it's very much like you go through your Auskick program, you play in your local, you know, is it SANFL or Waffle or whatever, and then you go to the AFL. Yep. The road is very clear the moment you're 9 years old. Mm. Basketball's not like that. You talked about this when we had Body on. Like, it's so fragmented. Clubs are fragmented. The leagues below them, NBL ones come through a little bit, but where's BA in all this? I'm just not getting it.
Yeah, and I think they're going to remain invisible. You remember when the BA was basically running the NBL?
running it down, you mean? Yeah,
it was a disaster, you know. And so that was one of their key focuses, right? Run the NBL, okay, make it a commercial enterprise, and they couldn't do that. I just don't see how they're gonna leverage the commercial sort of focus and the promotion of the game and get the pathways pumping quick enough. You know, they'll have to take it to focus groups, and then they'll have to write a white paper. And then they'll think about it some more, and then they'll send it out to clubs for feedback. Yeah, you know, it's like, it's a bureaucracy. Nothing's going to happen fast.
Yeah, no, that's certainly what's playing.
And I think it's disappointing, but I can't see it changing. I don't think they can. I think it's probably inherent in their charter of, you know, what they do. They probably can't do anything that quickly.
The other thing I want to say, this is a slight departure from BA, but Liz Cambage, do you remember, this is a bit risky, but I'll go with it.
Yeah.
We're talking about pumping and dumping. Like, on this show, we try and pump players and teams that are good, but we also, we dump a little if guys aren't good or teams aren't good or teams do the wrong things. You try and find that balance. Any one of too much of the other is bad. So speaking about Liz Cambage, at the start of the Olympic or run towards the Olympics, she criticized the AOC for that photo shoot. And the lack of diversity.
Yep.
she perceived it that way. Was it that way? I don't know. But she said what she said. Okay, yep. Not a problem. And this is where we talk about pumping and dumping. Okay, she dumped on the Australian Olympic Committee for that. But Paddy Mills was just by far and away the best player on the Boomers. Really yep. carried that team to the medal. 42 points in the decider. I don't think I'm being mean to the other players.
I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
No. She was arguing for sort of a bigger space for people of colour. Well, Paddy Mills is a person of colour. Mm-hmm. He had played so well. And yet I quickly went to her Instagram. And I apologize if maybe she put up a story because they disappear on Instagram or whatever. But there's been no formal, like, well done, Paddy Mills. And that kind of, I was like, pump and dump, equal measure. And listen, you don't have to, if you're Liz Cambridge and you have a problem with the AOC or BA or even the Boomers, the other guys on the team, you can still hold up Mills. Now, maybe she doesn't like Mills. She doesn't necessarily have to, but person of cut, like, you had the chance to dump as yep. well as pump, and instead she chose silence. And that kind of irritates me when you made a stand one way, make a stand the other. Define yourself by what you hate, but also what you like. And and that kind of got my dander up a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought, because I quite like her. I think she's vocal, but wasn't vocal on this one. So
Yeah.
I kind of sprung that on you, Andrew. But sorry.
No, I find myself really frustrated by her. I just think it's just too, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think there's just been too many issues with her for too long that obviously there's a real problem. And I think she's going to turn into one of these players. I think that it'll always be the could have been sort of argument. Like, how good.
The last thing I was going to say on this one is, you know, we did the census, or the country did the census on Tuesday, or was it last Tuesday? I can't really remember.
Last Tuesday. Yep.
Last Tuesday. You know, Paddy Mills is the best player in the country at the minute. Aboriginal and Indigenous people weren't considered part of the census until 1967. It's only 54 years ago. And now an Indigenous player in Paddy Mills is the best player in the country. That's not lost on me. That 54 years sounds like a lot. That's not a long length of time. COVID's been 2 years. It flew like that. Remarkable. I just wanted to make that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what is it, 65 years since the Boomers been competing for a medal, their first appearance?
Rome was the first, I want to say.
So I think that's what they're saying, 65 years. So that's almost the same length of time, which, yeah, is in relative terms a very short time.
It's a lifetime. It's less than a lifetime.
Less than a lifetime.
Yeah. Half a lifetime almost. So incredible.
Yeah.
You were saying, Andrew?
I don't think I was. I just want to say as well, as much as BA will probably stuff up this post-bronze thing, doesn't take away the fact they still got bronze. They got rose gold.
True.
Well done. I'm still pumped from it.
Yeah. And credit where it's due.
It's excellent.
Where do you want to go next? Perth's lack of action.
Yep.
The season schedule. Just a quick one. You want to do that? Or
quick Perth lack of action. Quick Perth lack of action. I don't think
I'll take what's going on? You tell me.
There's nothing to report. There's nothing to report other than Kevin White's been re-signed. We've got Mike Kelly sort of doing the coach without being the coach.
I'd say headquarters spy. Yeah, go on.
Former
United guy, just saying.
The purchase has gone through, so there's now no reason for delays. They got that. They've employed that new director guy, an old Perth alumni from way back. I've forgotten his name now. There's so much research I've done on this one. People will be kicking me for that. Hopefully Kevin White is the first domino to fall. You know, lock in those easy Australian pieces now and go and get some imports and coach and start to actually make some noise. Because on the other side of the continent, at the Jack Jumpers, you've got an entire team that's done and dusted. And a number of them are not far behind. So Perth are way behind at the moment.
Here's why I don't dislike the strategy. You sound as though you're asking for permission to panic, and I'm saying no, you do not have permission to panic just yet. Actually, before I do that, though, you're not willing to go on a limb and say this is the season that the Wildcats miss the finals, eh?
I think this would be a great opportunity for them to miss the finals.
It would. It'd hedge your bets because COVID, new management, no coach. Cotton, there's been some rumours if it's not the right coach, Cotton might sort of tiptoe.
The streak has to end at some point. So, you know, without knowing the full roster and seeing who they're going to get as imports and things, I'm going to say. So, but having said that, the opposition aren't looking as particular. There's nothing that struck fear in my hearts across the country in terms of what other teams are doing. So no, I'm not going to rule them out yet. I'm going to hold that thought.
So just to go over the basics, so they've got no head coach and I believe 5 roster spots to fill. They had 6 and then they signed Kevin White. So they've got 5. Yep. They've got 1 import on their books at the minute in Cotton, who, remember there was talk of him becoming a citizen? What the? That just never happened. But obviously they're waiting on a head coach before they do any huge recruiting. I want to throw a few ideas out in the world. Perhaps they're limiting how much money they commit on paper before the season is confirmed. I know we had a proposed start date today, but maybe to sort of skirt NBL pay cycles, because NBL pay cycles aren't just, you know, start of the season to the end of the season. They kind of kick in at certain dates and not. So maybe they're trying to save a few bucks by not having a full roster until the pay day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that makes sense. They're not with you. You're not responsible for them until they sign that contract. So, yeah.
Precisely. So that was one thing I had. The other thing I'd say is, here's why I'm not fearful, and I don't think Wildcat fans should be fearful either. They've got 4 starters returning. Mitch Norton, who they re-signed, who was, I don't think was any doubt to leave, but was potential, you know, was a free agent.
Yep.
Cotton's coming back by all accounts. Well, he's on a, got, what, 2 more years left?
Yeah, he's still on the, at least 1, if not 2. I need to check that.
I think it's 2. Blanchfield's returning.
Yes.
And then here's the sort of wild card in this. Luke Travers, who is a 4th starter, returns. They're all under contract.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only one is Mooney, who's gone to Japan. So really, they've got 2 roster spots and perhaps a 3rd to fill Mooney. Mm. And you would think they've got 2 of these. Let's say Cotton doesn't naturalize. 2 roster spots, 1 to replace Mooney, and then 1 to get a sort of 2-3-4 bit of switching wing depth, maybe a bit of defense. A Justin Simon type could be quite good, maybe if you got a bit more offense at him. And as you said before, nothing the other teams are building is really concerning me. And in particular, United. They won it last year. I think they've done a bad job with their roster thus far. They've committed 3/4 of their salary cap to Dela Vadova, who didn't impress anyone in the Olympics.
Nope.
And they've lost their best player in Landau. They lost, arguably, well, he was the MVP, wasn't he? No, he wasn't, but he was close. You know, the finals MVP in Landau. So their team has been, I don't want to say gutted, but gee, it's taken a hit. I mean, you lose Jock Landau. I mean, he's a young, athletic big. They destroy who could shoot from the outside. He was a small ball 5. They kill the NBL. So
and
they've lost him.
They've lost McCarron.
Lost McCarron.
That's huge.
And they haven't re-signed Scotty Hobson yet. They've got, their starting lineup is going to be all over 30. Dela Vadova, Golding, and I think it's going to be Brad Newley starting at small forward.
Jeez, with David Barlow backing him up.
David Barlow backing him up and David Anderson at the 5. So they're real. So that's a team that was the number 1 team last year. They've taken a step back.
Yeah.
I don't know who's taken a step forward as well. Like the Jack Jumpers started their roster early. They obviously want to get some guys on the practice floor to actually build a team or a culture.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
No, I'm not terribly worried. They still have Bryce Cotton and 3 other starters. So,
yep. That's, and also the mystery man for this year is Majuk. What's he going to come back?
Yeah, he returns. Good point.
The season before, he was really quite good and he played just good solid backup minutes. He's a rebounding machine. So if he comes back healthy, that's another tick in the box. So I guess they have got their Aussie contingent basically sorted. Fill it up with a couple of young DPs from somewhere and off you go.
Yeah.
So okay, Perth, you've got you've got a stay of execution.
But if these other teams get a lot better, I mean, Sydney have apparently signed some guys who they're going to be sort of an Illawarra clone this year, is what I've heard. They're signing some young shooting in the backcourt. They got Jordan Hunter and feel that they'll be better. I think they seem to think they've upgraded on Casper Ware. All right, that's Wildcats. Let's talk about this schedule start to the season. Let's talk about this. Announced, honestly, maybe an hour or so ago.
Breaking news.
November 18 is when the season's going to start. Your reaction when you saw it, Andrew Kenny?
Well, they've given themselves probably about the longest runway they possibly could, right? So we've got 3 months.
90 days.
3 months, 90 days until we get season. Currently, we have, by my count, I could be wrong because things change quick, 50% of the teams are impacted by COVID lockdown circumstances. You've got the Breakers, the Kings, United, Phoenix, and the Hawks, by my measure. I'm excluding the Queensland teams, although it's a bit dicey. You know, anything could happen with Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like? And we've got situations where, look, the situation is getting worse, not better, with the Delta variant on the East Coast. How on earth do you run a league? It's like last year all over again. I don't know how you can guarantee that you'd be good to go in 90 days' time. It's not up to you. It's up to the governments.
Precisely. And I think that, I mean, I'm in New South Wales. Just yeah, as you said, New South Wales has two NBL teams, Hawks and Kings.
Yep.
It also has, and this is as of yesterday, so add on an extra 650, 15,000 active cases of COVID, and nearly 5,000 of them are of unknown origin.
Jeez.
Victoria also has two NBL teams, and as of yesterday had 296 COVID cases. I haven't seen their caseload today. The situation in Victoria, I actually think will presumably get a bit better. New South Wales, I don't see it getting better anytime before Christmas. So how you go about that without hubbing the two teams? But that's why the paid TV deal is so important, because even if fans aren't there, the league's getting something. I can't speak for the clubs. The clubs are probably getting gouged, but the league would be like, hey, we're making a bit of money off the TV, you know, whether fans are there or not. So that when they signed that TV deal, it immediately said to me, oh, they're looking to provide content with the intention or the forethought that there's not going to be fans in the stands.
Yep.
I don't know how you do it.
I'm just looking at the news at the moment. Breaking news. 17 minutes ago, New Zealand, the All Blacks are not going to fly to Perth for the Wallabies test match. That's rugby, but that's huge. Rugby's big money. They'd sold big that money. Stadium out.
We're not talking the Perth Arena of 13,000. No, we're talking
50,000.
Optus Stadium of 50,000.
Yep. And that's not happening.
I mean, that's today. That's not 90 days from now, but that is a cursor. That is a marker that you'd look at.
Yep.
What do you think? Do you think November 18 is incredibly wishful thinking from the NBL?
Yes, it is. The only way I could see this happening is they hub it up, and they basically put everybody in the city. But we did that last year with the NBL Cup, but that was funded by the Victorian government.
Mm.
Who's going to pay for
and,
it?
And
this
had
time?
Some fans at it. Don't forget.
Yeah, yeah. Not many. But who's going to pay for it this time around if they do that?
Actually, this year they're not doing the NBL Cup. They're doing the COVID Cup. That's where TV chef Pete Evans and Andrew Bogut are going to mud wrestle in a paddle pool full of lanolin for the biggest title of COVID mud racket. I'm kidding. It's not good. It's not ideal. I don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you go, especially in New South Wales. I can only really speak for
people,
how you go from curfews from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. to then, in 90 days, go from that to, you can go to Kudos Bank Arena and sit with another, so say 3 to 10,000 people and cough and chat and cheer and spit in each other's mouths in 90 days. Not
doesn't sound probable, does it?
No, doesn't seem at all probable or likely. But they seem to think so. What do you think's inspired the NBL to put out this date?
I think they have to. Like commercial, it's probably part of the commercial broadcast contracts. You know, like
do you think they even put it out knowing? November 18. Like it more like January 30th.
Yeah, I think so. I think, but you've got to be confident. You got to show confidence, don't you?
Yeah,
and at least fair enough. Assume. But I'm sure they've got backup plans. And that I'm thinking we might end up with another roster, like a schedule like we had last year where they're scheduling blocks, three or four weeks at a time.
It'll all be worth it if they do an NBL Cup with an Elam ending. I think we saw where the NBL Cup kind of fell flat. It was good, but it just had a little bit flat. Elam ending, I think, would be the air in the tires to just give that a pump, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'd love it. I would. Yep. And you could get some media coverage around that for sure. If they were going to have an NBL Cup, where would you have it, Joe?
Adelaide.
You think that? Yep.
Adelaide or Perth. Adelaide, I think, is just a little bit more achievable with flights. And if something goes bad, you can kind of duck in and out. But yeah, I'd do it in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And then if it's the same situation next year, let's not kid around, then I do it in Perth.
Yeah. Adelaide would probably be good because you've got the entertainment centre where the 36ers play out of, but you've still got...
Sports Arena or whatever.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I didn't know what to call it at that place.
I think it's the Hillsong Church now, but whatever you want to call it.
Basketball court?
Probably. I actually don't know. I think it is, yeah.
But so it's got a couple of venues that are at least... You can at least run an NBL game out of. So that would be quite good.
Yep, yeah. I'd do it there. Or obviously Tasmania is the other one.
I think Tasmania would be too much too soon. I think organization's trying to figure out how to run a game night. And I think trying to get them to be there for it.
And have cameras in it. Bang.
And for the fans as well. Like you need to build some loyalty for the Jack Jumpers. You know, they need to be the home brand. I think if you get the whole league showing up, I think that might just wear people out too fast.
So. We'll do a season preview closer to the season, obviously. But on paper, that Jack Jumpers team, do you like it better than the first year of the Phoenix? I kind of do.
Maybe.
Who's their biggest local? Magne. Is he their best local?
Or is it McVeigh?
Oh, jeez. No, it's Magne. No, it's Magne. I like McVeigh, but gee, he's your blue ribbon piece. Yikes. You know, Magne had NBA offers. He played there. That's Magne. That's Magne versus Creek. That's not. I like Magne. I like him a lot, but Creek is a player. He can be super impactful. He plays a position that's ball handler, you know. Just on that simple question alone, I think if you're looking at the Jack Jumpers, are they better than the Phoenix their first year? Distill it to Magne versus Creek, and I think you get your answer. But their imports are a wild card. I kind of like what they've done, but we'll do a season preview. We'll do that later on when we've had a chance. Yeah. All right, we're almost out of here. We've got one last thing on the agenda, have you got anything else? Any topics you want to bring up?
No, I think.
Yep.
Let's do the last little item.
Olgun Ulic is gone from ESPN.
Yep.
Presumably he's left the media side of basketball to pursue a role in like agency stuff. He was always quite close with both of the Moldovans, Lighthouse, and what is now Octagon Sports, I believe. He'll be a loss for he put out a lot of NBL and basketball content, and I think he'll be a loss.
He produced a lot of content. There was always a take. He always had a
tweets,
take.
Tweets. Yep. Articles, you know, and that is few and far between. So,
because he moved the agenda forward, so people he was kind of like the news of the day, and then people would riff off of that. So I don't know who's going to be that who's setting the table now.
Well, you'd assume it's the social media of the individual teams. I mean, all it means is that your news comes a little bit late. So before Ulic would sort of break something, and you know that would, but now I guess that just deflects to the clubs where they make their own announcement, and that is what spurs the conversation. But because it's the clubs, it just won't be editorial. You know, it'll be kind of like, we've signed another great player. He's so great. Yep. Great, great, great. Everything's happy. Everything's great. Whereas when Ulic did it, it had more of a, is he good? Is he bad? Sources say, I don't know. You tell me. It'd be missed.
So I'm just looking at the ESPN site now and seeing who's, it seems to be Kane Pittman.
Yep.
Writing the articles now. So is he confirmed as the...
no idea.
The guy, the permanent new guy? Or
we shall see. We shall see. Yeah. But whoever, ESPN, whoever it is, but, you know, you'd want to be good.
Pressure's on.
And you want to break some stuff too.
And look, you know, I just want to say, you know, put it on the record for whatever worth this counts as record. But Olgun, you've done well done. Good job, good innings. Mm-hmm. A lot of hard work, and you know, sometimes we'd probably give you a bit of a hard time. But I think well done, bravo. Enjoy the new gig. I'm sure it will pay better.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And if a lot of people seem to have a bit of an issue with him, man, he put out a lot of content, and content is king in my book. So fair play.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it.
There's one more bit of.
Corey Webster.
Oh, we could talk Corey Webster.
Yeah, quickly. Corey Webster moving on to Egypt. We talked about this with Body when we did that three-way podcast, three-man weave, if you want to call it. He was not our type of player, is what I'll put it. What do you think?
Yeah, he's. He's reliable for leaving. I mean, look, he did this. He did this to Perth Wildcats, signed a deal, and then never turned up. He just doesn't seem to. He doesn't seem to work out with teams, does he? He's played a lot of games. Now, he's got a lot of games behind him, but they never seem like he's a part of the furniture.
I mean, I'll put it this way: he was if not the best player on their team the last couple of years, and they had a losing record, and by quite a lot. And he was either hurt, was very fond of the low percentage mid-ranger contested. I just don't think you're committing to a third season with Corey Webster.
Yeah, and he had 2 years to go on the contract as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That is it's a big hit, but I think it's probably one that I think it might be addition by subtraction.
I was just about to say, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
You had other news, though.
Other news about NBL Pocket Podcast.
Oh, yeah. We just released a website.
Yeah, man.
Tell the good people. www.mblpocketpodcast.com.
That's right.
It's launched. So you can go on there and basically it's just the latest episode and a button to subscribe and become a patron to the 490 of you who listened last week and just thought, yeah, these two court jesters can dance for my amusement and you'd throw chicken feed on the ground. No, that's right. Become a patron.
Now we're building websites for you as well. Come on.
Websites, actual stakes in the ground.
That's right. Virtually. No longer do we have to refer you to some random audio boom page. No. Just go to mblpocketpodcast.com for all your latest, well, actually not your latest news because we're not a user website, your latest pocket podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. For all your podcast stuff when you're doing the dishes or whatever. So do that. And thanks for listening to the 10 patrons. The rest of you, jump off a bridge. Don't do that. But become a patron. That's what I'm getting at. All right, Andrew, we're out of here. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Joe.
Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.